There was a Jewish lady by the name of Mrs. Rosenberg, and she was stranded one night in a fashionable resort. But unfortunately, it was one that did not admit Jews. But there was a sign there that she goes in and she said, "Well, I'd like a room." And the desk clerk said, "I'm sorry, but the hotel's full." And she said, "But the sign out there says you have vacancies." And he says, "Well," he said, "I'm sorry to tell you, but," he said, "you understand and you know that we do not admit Jews. So if you'll go on down to the other side of town, I'm sure you can find a place to stay." She got a little upset, kind of stiffened up, and said, "I'll have you to know I was converted to your religion." And the desk clerk said, "Oh yeah, let me give you a little history lesson. Let's see what you know." So the desk clerk said to her, "Where was Jesus born?" She says, "Well, he was born in a manger, born of a virgin." And he says, "Very good." He says, "Tell me a little bit more." She says, "What do you mean?" He says, "Well, tell me a little bit more about why he was born in a manger." And she looked in the eye and she says, "Because a jerk like you in a hotel wouldn't give her a room." Last week, we talked about Scrooge being visited by Jacob Marley, his former business partner, and how he was transported back to some memories that he had. And we, if we think about memories, we all have good memories. And then we have maybe some memories that aren't so good. You will not hear me say bad memories or bad things. It's either good or not so good. I believe that's what God, you know, expects from us because of what he's done for us. But as Scrooge began to remember his past, he began to see that road toward redemption. And when Jesus forgives our past, he forgives everything. No stone is unturned. Nothing is left unforgiven. Everything is put back in the way it was before. So today we're going to continue in that series of the redemption of Scrooge and take a look at that. It's interesting when you look at the New Testament and you see that the Gospels, only two of them really record anything about the birth of Jesus, Matthew and Luke. Mark starts talking about John the Baptist proclaiming that Jesus was the one to come. And John's very first word says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." In other words, Jesus became like you and I, flesh and dwelt among us. We have memories of our past. And I believe we're fortunate to have good memories. As I stated Thursday night, those not so good memories I've forgotten about. I don't have time for those. I don't have time for the garbage that may be occurring in my life. I don't have time for that. And I don't think God expects us to have time for that either. Cindy will tell you I have a very good memory. I don't believe in living in the muck that we did, and if she will not even know what our anniversary date is. She didn't know it was December. She won't know it's the 29th. And as I told you before, she introduced me as a tax deduction the first time I met some of the people she worked with. She remembered that. I remember growing up in a dirty river town by the name of Hannibal, Missouri. I remember a lot of good stuff about that. Growing up in a town of 17, 18,000 people wasn't all that bad. You knew a lot of people. Unfortunately, a lot of people knew you. And they knew a lot of stuff that you did. Sometimes that's not too bad when you've got someone looking over your shoulder. Or are you looking over your shoulder and seeing them? But I remember growing up, and my mother and dad and aunt and uncle bought this two-room fishing cabin, and we'd fish every weekend. I remember rowing across the what's called Bay de Charles to bank lines, and sometimes there'd be a catfish on there, sometimes there'd be a turtle. Sometimes it would be a hideous-looking fish called a gar. If you know what those look like, that's about the most unattractive thing. I'm not sure you could find some. You could probably find uglier stuff than that in the Ohio River. You could probably find fish with three eyes and 14 fins and, you know, all kinds of stuff like that. But I remember those days, and I remember them vividly, of how much fun we really had. Believe it or not, I remember an outhouse, because that's what we had there. No running water. But it was the time of my life at that age. I remember good times with my son. You remember good times with your children. There might have been some not so good times that we don't remember or we've tried to forget, but they were there. All the time wishing they would grow up and then hoping they wouldn't. Every mother shaking her head. And some fathers. Thankful that they are healthy. It's easy to remember the good stuff. Sometimes it's not so pleasant to remember the bad, so that's why I've just decided that I'm not going to remember it. But I found a pretty good example. Pretty good example is Jesus. Because when he forgives, he forgets. And we don't have all that muck and mire in our lives. In the scripture that Greg read earlier, he read about Jesus walking along the Sea of Galilee and calling a couple guys and said, hey, quit fishing. Because frankly, you haven't caught any fish all night. And come follow me. And I'm sure they were looking at what kind of redemption is this? That we're going to go follow you. What are we going to do? And I can see him looking at him and said, Andrew, I'm going to make you fishers of men. And they're sitting there saying, what in the world is that? I can just imagine that, you know, and imagine that scene going on. But they were chosen and they were called and they were predestined to be disciples. I'm not sure they had a choice. Karen and I were talking this morning, and I told her, she asked me a question, and I said, that's part of my message today. Talking about confirmation. We need people that are willing to step up and say, I want to serve as a mentor for the confirmation of a young person. Now, I will tell you, God has laid that on somebody's heart. And maybe more than one. But he wouldn't have told me to say that if he hadn't have prepared someone that's willing to say, I want to do that. I want to lead that young person into some study and some understanding of discipleship, some understanding of who Jesus really is, some understanding of what Jesus can mean in a person's life. My church I went to never did confirmation. They never did what we're going to do at the end of the service either. But there's someone here or someone somewhere that God has called to do that. And just because God calls us doesn't immediately make us perfect. And don't be disappointed in hearing that. Because there's none of us in here that would claim to be perfect. But what God does is rather than calling the perfect, he perfects those that he called. And he can bring us into that perfect situation. What Jesus does when he redeems our lives is he forgets everything that is there. A lot of people talked about, and I remember hearing ministers talk about, you put off the old person. You don't put off anything. God forgives you and God puts it off. He's the one that forgives us. We don't forgive ourselves. But I've often thought, why are people reluctant anymore to accept Jesus? Why are they, what's the fundamental problem in people's, you know, in people's life that they have that hesitancy to do that, or they have that reservation about it? And so here I come up with what I thought was four things. What's holding us back? Thoughts of our past. Hey, I'm far from perfect. Thank you, Roger. But I am. I did things wrong. But if Scrooge can be redeemed, Larry can be redeemed. So I don't think about the past. Failing to understand really what forgiveness is a second one. What does it mean to be forgiven? And what's involved in that? And one of the things about being forgiven is I'm not going to think about that anymore. And I've had conversation after conversation after conversation after conversation after conversation with my brother about forgiveness versus forgetting. He can't grasp the forgetting part because he can't grasp the forgiveness part. One follows the other. And you can't have one without the other. So if you can't understand forgetting, it's because we can't understand forgiveness. And I talked to a couple one time and they said, well, forgiveness is just forgetting everything that happened. And I said, that's the second part. Forgiving is saying under any condition, I understand what you did. I understand it was wrong, but I also accept you for who you are and I forgive you. And I said, it's going to have to be every day, and you may have to do it 35 times a day. Make any difference what it is. Not realizing what Jesus said is true is the third thing. He said, I wish above all things that you have life and you have life abundantly. You live an abundant life. What's that mean? That means that we don't have to live average. From a Christian standpoint, things can be so much better than what they are. And I think maybe the number one reason is people don't think they're worthy. I'm not good enough to be forgiven. And that's a tough thing for some people to grasp. I'm not good enough. But he never said anything about being good. Remember, he doesn't call the perfect. He perfects the called. Like Scrooge, when we begin to look into our past, then we can learn how we grow in grace and how things become better in our lives. And when we can accept the work that Jesus did on the cross, and that may be way too theological to really grasp what went on. But if we can understand in 14 days, Jesus Christ was born, 33 years he lived on this earth, and we know what happened when he was 12 years old because he ran off from his mom and dad. And we know what happened at age 30, but there's 18 years there. We really have no idea what he did. He probably made some of the same mistakes that we make. He may have done some of the same things that we have done. But God called him to be our Redeemer. One of the difficult things about memory and thinking about things is the fact that we forget some of the details, we forget some of the facts, some of the things that are really important. So what happens is that we begin to fill in those blanks with things that we wish would have happened, or we think might have happened. We think we would have been better off. And so what it does is it distorts who we think we are, because we look back and think, well, I didn't do that. Yeah, we did. Or yes, I did. And so we don't think about that. Paul describes his determination, and we talked about this Thursday evening. But Paul said, I was the greatest of the persecutors of the church. In fact, he said, I was better than my contemporaries. I was better than anybody else at persecuting people, of killing people for the cause of Jesus Christ. And yet Paul became the greatest evangelist the world has ever known, because he accepted forgiveness and then he forgot about the muck and the garbage and the stuff that he did. So here are three things to forget. Number one, forget the things that have been done to us. And I look back on a career of almost 35 years with a company I work for. And the first 34 and a half years were really great. The last 6 months was hell on earth. I had people lying on my appraisal. It was just unbelievable, sitting in front of people lying. And I've had to forgive them. I don't even remember that person's name that did that. Because I was talking to somebody the other day at his 50th birthday party, because this guy used to work for me. And we're sitting there talking, and I asked him, and he said he couldn't remember, and I said, I can't remember. It took me 2 days to forget everything I'd learned in 35 years, which wasn't bad. Somebody said it might take 2 weeks. So forget what's been done to us. You forgot, Butch? We forget what's there because it's no longer important. We don't live in our past. We live in our future. We live in what tomorrow had. Paul gave it up. So we forget the sins that have been done to us. We forget the sins that have been done by us. We've all done things wrong. None of us are perfect. I read something interesting this week, and sometimes that's hard to do. Sometimes it's hard to forget those two things, what's been done by us or what's been done to us. I read this week, I think it was in 1880, James Garfield was elected president. Right after he was elected president, he was shot in the back. And they couldn't find the bullet. So there was his doctor went in to probe where that bullet was with his finger and couldn't find it. In fact, no one could find it. They tried different types of probes. They could not find that bullet. 16 different doctors went in and probed and tried to find the bullet in our president, in James Garfield's back, and they couldn't find it. They finally decided they were going to do everything they could to make him comfortable. And as they made him comfortable, he grew weaker and weaker and weaker and finally died. He didn't die from the bullet. He died from the infection. As a result of people sticking their fingers in his body trying to find a bullet. And that's what happens to us when we let that stuff take over our lives, of what someone has done to us. And it gnaws on us, and it eats on us, and it grinds on us, and we get mad. Talked to a couple, three or four weeks ago, and I may have shared this with you, but one of them said, I get upset, then I get angry. And that's what happens when we don't let it go, when we don't forget about it. We end up letting those wounds infect us and kill us. It's like running a race. It's interesting when you watch the Olympics. I never see anybody running looking behind them. Now, they may catch a quick glimpse to see who's behind them. I've shared with you, my brother raced stock cars, and in fact, he still does. He just bought another one, the knucklehead. He's only got three now. But he said, this might be my last year. And I said, you said that years ago. But he never won a race trying to catch the people behind him. He won because he was catching the people in front of him. And that's where his eyes were, straight ahead. Now, I could probably show you 300, 350 trophies that he's got. I mean, he was good. I'm not saying that just because he's my brother. He was good. But you don't get there looking behind you. It's looking on ahead. So we forget what we've done to people. We forget what people have done to us. But you know what else you got to forget? Your successes. It's like, man, why do I have to do that? Because we live in that. We begin to live in what our success is. And when we do that, we get complacent. Nothing else matters. I read this week, and I think it's good. When we try to live off of yesterday's adventures with God, it becomes stale. You can't live a vibrant Christian life today by looking back on the glories of the past. You can't live a vital Christian life on stale grace. It can happen to individuals. It can happen to churches. People are getting forgiven every day, and they're looking forward with vitality of what's going on. But the author went on to say, people are getting saved every week. They are brimming with life and vitality. But the people stopped looking forward. They settled down and became self-satisfied, full and contented, living on their reputation. As a result, they withered and died. No matter how good the past was, we have to leave it behind. We have to leave our successes behind. We've had some good successes here for a couple years. That's not going to do us anything in 2017. Because we got to go do more. We got to press on to what lies ahead. Paul said it well. He said, but the one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul, when he was running the race, had his eyes on the rostrum standing next to God when he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Because that's what Paul said. So wherever we are in the race, we have to press on. But we have to press on forgetting what's back there, because it's absolutely going to destroy us if we don't forgive what's been done to us, forgive what we've done to people, and forget how successful we've been at what we're doing. Paul went on to say, and in closing he said, give it everything you've got. It's going to take everything you have, but with God's help, you will make it to the end. Let this be the motto for the rest of your life. But the one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward and in Christ Jesus. What do you say? I'm pressing forward. I'm not pressing backward. I'm pressing forward. So to move forward is to forgive and forget. And I'll tell you, it takes work. It's not easy. But someone also said that should we expect it to be easy with what Jesus went through? Why should we expect life to be so simple and so easy for us? And I don't think we should. I think we just need to be thankful that we have the opportunity to run the race and to move forward. God bless you.